Today I want to do a little bit of Rambam. Now Rambam is on chapter 5, the laws of tefillah. Chapter 5, the laws of tefillah. And we're going to see the Rambam talks about meditation and the laws of tefillah. So the Rambam tells us, there are 8 things that a person who's praying has to try and keep. 8 things a person's going to try and do when they pray. However, if he can't, because he was some kind of accident, or times were rough, and he didn't do them, he does not stop the tefillah going up. Tefillah is still valid. So what are these 8 things? Number one is standing up. Someone is standing up. And you know, if you've been on an airplane, if you can't stand up, you can pray sitting down. Right? If you can't stand up, you pray sitting down. So standing is a requirement, but if you can't, or a person who's disabled, he has to sit in this wheelchair, or he's tired, or he's old. So obviously you can't stand. But ideally a person should stand. So number one. Number two, to face the Beit HaMikdash. So when a person prays, you should try and get a line towards the Beit HaMikdash. So anywhere you are in the world, you should try and face the Beit HaMikdash. But again, a person cannot find doesn't know where the Beit HaMikdash is, you pray, your heart should be towards the Beit HaMikdash. A person should think, I'm praying towards the Beit HaMikdash. So it doesn't stop the tefillah. Number three, tikkun aguf, which we're going to talk about, fixing the body, which is standing in a certain posture, which we're going to talk about the posture. One's feet should be together, and one should be standing, like he says, like a servant before their master. Tikkun malbushim, a person's clothes should be good, we're going to talk about that as well. Tikkun makom, a person prays should be a clean place. Vashvayat kol. And a person, when they pray, they should not raise their voice. It's very important not to raise one's voice and scream when a person prays. Vakriya, and we're going to talk about the bowing, Veshtachaviyah, different kinds of bowings. So 8 things that a person should try and get right in their tefillah. Okay, so I'm going to go through these 8 things in great detail. Number one, standing up. A person should pray only standing. If he was sitting in a boat, or he's in a cart, if he can stand, he should stand. If you can't stand there, so then yeshev komor vitpalel. You should sit down and pray. So that's like a person on a Greyhound bus, and they're going somewhere. So if you can stand up without making a disturbance, you stand up. If you can't stand up, you sit down. Or an airplane, same thing. If you can't stand up, ideally you should stand up for tefillah. If you can't stand up, you sit down. Chole, a sick person, he can pray even though he's lying down in the bed. When a person praying Shmona Esrei lying down, he can't stand up. So he pray lying down. However, it's ideal a person should try and lead on one side and not pray on one's back or one's front, not kavod. And Rambam is very strict about this, which is our topic, which is as long as he has focus, he can focus his mind, which we're going to talk about. We don't follow this Rambam today. Rambam is very, very careful that if you're not going to be able to concentrate, don't pray. We're going to talk about that. That's the reason why I brought this Rambam. It's very, very important. According to Rambam, it's very, very critical. The Kavanah is really the main part of the Tefillah. The meditation part of the Tefillah is the main part of the Tefillah. And that's the part that we ourselves have the hardest part time to do. We can do everything else. We can straight posture, clothing, place, face the Beit HaMikdash, everything. When it comes to Kavanah, that knocks us out. And now if you look at this, Kavanah is only one of the 8 things. Why is Kavanah not one of the 8 things? Because Kavanah is essential. As opposed to these 8 things, which we said are lehatchila, ideal, but not essential. Kavanah is even more than these 8 things, which we're going to talk about. V'chein, similarly, a person who is hungry, starving, they're sick. So if they can focus, they should pray. If they can't focus, they shouldn't pray until they eat and drink. A person riding on an animal, even though he has someone over there to hold the animal, he shouldn't get down. He should sit in his place and pray. Why? Because if he gets off the animal, he's going to be confused and say, you know, maybe I'm going to be late for my appointment. I'm going to be late here. I'm going to do, you know, my animal will run away and lose my animal. And therefore, it's better for him to pray sitting on the animal. Amazing. So whatever helps your kavanah, according to Rambam, even though standing up is very important, the main thing is the kavanah, not the standing, not the posture so much, but the kavanah is more important. It trumps, if you forgive the term, it trumps the posture. The intentions, the meditation, trumps the posture. The meditation trumps the posture. Nochach HaMikdash, facing the temple. How? If he's standing outside Israel, he should turn his face towards Israel. If he's standing in Israel, he should face Yerushalayim. If he's standing in Yerushalayim, he should face the Mikdash. If he's standing in the Beit HaMikdash, halavai, we should be standing in the Beit HaMikdash, he turns his face towards the Holy of Holies. A blind man, and a person who cannot figure out the directions, or a person who's on a boat and they don't have no compass, he should just think, I'm praying towards the Shekhinah. I'm praying towards God's presence. So the reason why we face Yerushalayim is that's where the concentrated form of God's presence is. But a person kind of doesn't know where Yerushalayim is. You just think, I'm praying towards God's presence. Tikkun HaGuf Ketzad. How does a person fix their body? Now we come to the part we talked about. Kishua Med, when he's standing up, someone is standing up. Sorry, Shekhavir Libo, Raglav. He's got to put his feet together. Zebet Zadzu. One corresponds to the other. Notene nav lemata, put his eyes low. So today, obviously, you pray from a siddur, and if you're looking in the siddur, the idea is a person should not be staring here and there and praying. Very, very important. And it's very critical a person should not be looking around them and praying. And you see sometimes some people doing that. They know the prayers by heart, and they're looking here, looking there. Especially someone walks in, they're looking around. That is not a good thing to do, because it ruins the kavanah. And it shows a person's prayers are not important. They're looking here, they're looking all around. So it's very important to pray from a siddur. If you know the prayers by heart, you can just close your eyes. If you don't want to close your eyes, at least look down. Look down. So it's important. That's part of the tikkun haguf. That's part of the body posture. V'yeli bo panui lemara. And this is the part which I wanted to quote. And a person's heart should be open to the worlds above. So a person, the body should be statue-like posture, and their heart should be open to the worlds above. Ki'ilu hu amed b'shamayim, as if a person is standing in heaven. So the question we have is, what does it mean? How can you even think about standing in heaven? And Rambam says you should be thinking you're standing in heaven. How do you even envision standing in heaven? Any ideas? How do you envision you're standing in heaven? So what do we have? What's the closest thing we have to heaven? Close. It's the day of the week. Shabbat. Shabbat is Me'en Olam Haba. We sing the song. Me'en Olam Haba Shabbat Maketa. Shabbat is Me'en Olam Haba. Olam Shekulo Shabbat. What's Olam Shekulo Shabbat? A world which is totally Shabbat. Can imagine? When a person thinks of Shabbat, we don't really imagine. You're really experiencing a part of heaven. You're experiencing a part of Olam Haba. It's very... Person should really think and savor Shabbat. You know, when I think of Shabbat, I think of peace, tranquility. Shabbat is like, it's one of the things we have to remember every day, right? One of the remembrances every day, right? HaShabbat. Right? What's the first thing you think about? What's the first thing you have to remember? Yetziat Mitzrayim, and then Shabbat. And then the man. Oh, man is beautiful as well. Think about your food coming down from heaven. Oh, God is sending us Shefa. God is sending us energy, spiritual energy all the time. I tell you, I love it. Just thinking about it. Plus, you think, envision in their mind, you know, in Shabbat, state of peace. Shabbat, peace. I'm not thinking about anything material because I have everything material. And that's what he means. You're standing in heaven. If you're standing in heaven, what does Rambam say about heaven? He says in Chol Teshuvah, there's nothing physical in heaven. There's no standing, sitting, there's no food, there's no drinks, there's no... So, if you're in heaven, there's no physical things to remove your concentration. That's what he means. A person should think as if they're standing in heaven. What do you mean they're standing in heaven? All your physical needs are not even think about. Don't even think about it. You're standing in heaven. If you're in heaven, you're in a spiritual dimension already. If you're in a spiritual dimension like Shabbat, you don't think about your physical needs. That's a beautiful idea. Very, very few. So how could a person even think? So a person could ask the question. You read the Rambam. A person should think as if they're standing in heaven. How do you think you're standing in heaven? I've been to heaven. And the answer is, heaven is a state of mind. Heaven is a Shabbat state of mind. Heaven is a state of mind where there's no needs, no physical needs. And a person's heart should be open to the spiritual sources above. In other words, if you're in heaven already, you have no physical needs. So what do you think about? Spiritual thoughts. Close to the Shekhinah, you're close to godly presence. If you're close to godly presence, that's what you should be thinking about. And that's what most people think about when they're praying. Unfortunately, when we're praying for our physical needs. That pulls us down. It's a total dichotomy. How do you pray for your physical needs and be in heaven? It's total dichotomy. It's a contradiction. And that's something which we have to unravel over here. That's the question over here. How can a person, you know. So, okay, I can imagine. Okay, so the first bracha, in fact, the first three brachot, you're in heaven. Because the first three brachot are nothing to do with physical needs. The first three brachot are praises of God. So you're in heaven and praising God. So the first three brachot, you're fine, you're in heaven now. Okay. It's only after that, then you remember where you really are. Only after that, you start thinking about your mind. You still have them. Because the intellect is what, according to Ram, we're going to see. The intellect binds us to heaven. The intellect is one of the higher levels of physicality. And it's a bridge between the spiritual and the physical world. So, spiritual. Teshuvah, Hashiveinu Avinu Torotecha, spiritual. Salach Lanu Avinu Kehatanu, spiritual. So the first six blessings are spiritual. The first six blessings of Shemona Esrei were in heaven. That's already nearly half the Shemona Esrei. Six, right? So, and the last three are definitely spiritual. So that's nine. That's half the Shemona Esrei, nearly. Okay, so. So you can imagine yourself, you're in heaven, at least the first part of the Shemona Esrei. And then you need your spiritual things. What can you do? Because you're not totally spiritual. We're not totally spiritual. We need our physical things. Even Yaakov Avinu. In the image of the ladder, right? He tells Hashem at the end, "Lechem lechol begel bosh." I need food and clothing. I need basic necessities. Chol asher titen li aser asrenu lach. Whatever you give me, I'll give you a tenth. But there's a physical component to his dream as well, physical component. So too, the physical component to our dreams, to our spiritual prayers, there is a physical component. You cannot be spiritual without the physical needs being met. That's the trouble. Okay, so umaniach yadav al libo. The person should put his hands on his heart. So according to Shulchan Aruch, the thumb should be inside. Left on the right. Sorry, the right on the left. The thumb's inside like that. And that's the way the servants would stand before their masters. Ramam, Ben Ish Chai says, slightly on your left side. Below the heart. So, that's how the servants would stand before their masters, he tells us. Ke'ebed if neighbor bo. Like a master, like a servant before his master, with fear and trepidation. Now we come to fixing one's clothes. Keta, mitakem abushav techira. A person should fix their clothes before they pray. And wear nice clothes. As it says, Yishtachavu la'Hashem behadra kodesh. Bow down to God with glory of holiness. V'lo yamod fila ba'punato. A person should not stand to pray in his undergarments. V'lo b'rosh meguleh, with his head uncovered. With his feet uncovered, some people wear sandals, they wear socks. So it depends on the minhag of the place. So the minhag of the place is people always wear socks, you have to wear socks when you pray. Minhag of the place is people don't wear socks when they're walking around, you don't have to wear socks when you pray. So the way the people stand before, before honorable people. So you would go to see the president, how would you go? Would you go with socks or without socks? Or wear shorts or not wear shorts? Or wear shorts? It's interesting, if you look at Israel, it's interesting how even the politicians now wearing ties. They never did. Even Egged bus drivers. Man, Egged bus driver wearing ties? I got a shock. What's going on over here? Marabu Masech Hashem. What happened to Egged bus drivers? They used to wear shorts and that's it. No, not anymore. They're all dressed up. Why? Customer service. I don't want to show customer. All of a sudden, they woke up. You got to dress up nicely. Even the Egged bus driver dresses up nicely. So Israel is changing. I mean, before you walk around, the politicians walk around with sandals and short sleeves. Today, no more. They're wearing ties and suits. Like, what happened to them? They fell on their heads. What happened to them? It's a totally different society now. They're getting more civilized. It's like America is catching up to them. Well, I don't know what is it. I don't know what it is. But now they're thinking, clothes make the man. It's like you have to dress up now. So it's much harder to get away with it. In those days, you get away with it, praying in a t-shirt and a shorts. Today, it's much harder. Because even these guys in the Knesset, they're all dressed up well. They're dressed up very well. So even in Israel, it's harder. I still think people still go to them with their, sandals and shorts. And I don't know. But even that's changing. It's interesting how society is changing. So that's part of wearing clothes, good clothes. Tikkun Malbushim. So when a person prays, they should wear nice clothes, wear nice shoes. And shouldn't carry anything when they pray. The only exception is Elulav, time of the Sukkot, because that's the mitzvah of the day. Okay. Tikkun HaMakom, fixing the place. A person should pray in a place which is low. In other words, don't pray, you have a choice, if there's a platform, try not to pray on that platform. Try and pray in a lower place. And a person should pray facing a wall. You'll see Panav Dakota, face painting the wall, because there's less distractions. And a person should have a window in the place where they're praying, which faces Yerushalayim. And the window should be on a higher level, so you look upwards. Sometimes a person loses Kavanah in the middle of his tefillah. So you're seeing the sky aids Kavanah. So the skylight is very good. Or any window high up in the wall, which you cannot see the traffic around, which diverts a person's attention, but helps a person retain attention by seeing blue skies. Okay. A person should not pray on a very high place, which is above 3 tefachim or more, above 12 inches or more. And a person should not pray standing on a bed, not standing on a stool, not standing on a chair. Obviously, he could fall down as well and hurt himself. So, why? Because again, these things, what does the Torah say? Mema makim kreti Hashem. I called out to God from the depths, the Benov says in Shir HaMaalot, right? From the depths I called out to you. At one time, the Chazan would have a hole in the ground to go into. Imagine. The Chazan would go down to the Teva. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara always uses the language, Yored lefnei HaTeva. He goes down to the Teva because they would dig a hole in the Shuk, imagine. For the Teva, for the Chazan to go down into the hole, based on this psalm, from the depths I cried out to you, Hashem. So why today do we go up and not down? And the answer is, we want people to be able to hear the Chazan. Put the Chazan down in a hole, you're not going to be able to hear him. And the shuls got bigger and more people, and therefore they put the Chazan up instead of down. And then the Kabbalists came along, you look at the Arizal Synagogue, it's a 7 steps up, 7 spheres, you're going up, climbing up the stairs. So 7 steps up became a very high thing. Okay, but according to Halakha, a person should not stand on a high place and pray. It's not kavod. Hashvayat Kol. What is Hashvayat Kol? We did this in the Gemara, it's interesting, in our Gemara class last week, 2 weeks ago. Hashvayat Kol, what is Hashvayat Kol? A person should not scream when they pray. We talked about that, right? Unless you're praying by yourself and you know it's good for your kavanah. So that's the only exception. But when there's other people around, of course, you're not allowed to pray loudly because you're going to disturb them. You have some people who whisper very loudly when they're praying. It disturbs a lot of people around them. They shouldn't be doing that. So it's very important to not to raise one's voice in one's tefillah. However, a person's not just allowed to think. They have to actually move their lips. And here's the big question is, do you have to hear what you're saying or not? So Shulchan Aruch says yes, Rambam says yes, you have to hear what you're saying. You have to move your lips and listen to what you're saying. The Arizal says you should move your lips and not listen to what you're saying. You shouldn't even hear what you're saying. Machlokes between Pshat and Kabbalah. And a person, only if they're sick or they cannot have concentration without it, then they can whisper loudly so that they can hear what they're saying loudly, as long as there's no community around which are going to be disturbed. Now we come to the bowings. There are 5 bowings in the Shemoneh Esrei. Right? There are 4 in the Shemoneh Esrei, and there's 1 at the end. We go back, also Shalom, you're bowing and going back. So that's the 5th one. So he tells you everything. The first blessing, there's a bow at the beginning and a bow at the end. And at the end of the Shemoneh Esrei, the Modim and Uchana and Eldot. And then when you bow, to go back 3 steps. So there's 5 bowings altogether. When he bows, he bends at the Baruch, and he stands up when he gets to Hashem. Baruch, Atah, and stand up Hashem. So always when a person says Hashem's name, they're standing up straight. What is Hashem's name? Standing up straight. And then he goes back and says, Oseh Shalom B'Rumav, Hu Yaseh Shalom. Okay, so why does he say, so Rambam asks the question, why does he say Shalom B'Rumav when he's turning to his left side? Because his left side, when he's facing Hashem, is facing Hashem's right side. Got it? You're facing Hashem's right side. So your left side is Hashem's right side. So therefore, you're saying, Oseh Shalom B'Rav, is Hashem's right side, which is Chesed. Hu Yaseh Shalom Aleinu V'Hakol Yisrael. So Chesed, Gevura, Tiferet. Okay, so that's the Rambam's 8 things. But what I wanted to point out, there's 2 things I wanted to point out which deal with Kavanah, which we're going to talk about now. So number 1, he says, as we talked about, is a person's heart should be open above. As if he is standing in heaven, So we explained that. We said standing in heaven does not mean you're standing in heaven. It means you are in a state where you're not thinking about the physical. Right? Men olam haba, like Shabbat, where all your needs are being met and you're not thinking about anything physical. And then in chapter 4, in Halachas 15, he says, Kavanat halev. A person needs to pray with kavana, with concentration. Ketzad. What is kavana? Kol tefila she'ena b'kavana, ena tefila. Any prayer which has no concentration is not a prayer. If he pray without concentration, chozer palel b'kavana, he's going to go back and pray again. Matzadato m'shubeshet. A person finds that they cannot think straight, and their thoughts are all over the place, or they're thinking about worrying about something. Or a person comes from the way, in those days they come from camel trains, and they're exhausted. Asulo lipalel, he's not allowed to pray until his mind is open, fear is full of, he can focus. Amru chamim, yeshesh lo shamim, the rabbi said you should wait 3 days after a trip. Adshanu, until he's rested and his mind is able to focus. Going to Rambam, I don't know when you're going to pray. I don't know if anybody was allowed to pray today, going to Rambam. Today the halakha is not like this, Rambam. You pray anyway. Even if you cannot focus, most people cannot focus today. So we see how, since the time of Rambam, 1185, he was born 1135, from the time he wrote this book, 1185, we see how society has changed. People's ability to focus is much less. Anyway, let's move on. We're in the book, page 132. So, he's talking about over here, mid hidbodedut. What is hidbodedut? To be in a place where people cannot bother you. Right? And obviously, if you have a cell phone, people are going to bother you. So put your cell phone off. If you want to really be meditate, you have to put the cell phone off, even not on vibrate. Because even vibrate reminds you about other things. So it's good to put it off. And look at this. A person should disrobe his body from his soul. This is also language of the Shulchan Aruch, by the way. It's in the Shulchan Aruch. This language is in the Shulchan Aruch. A person should disrobe his body from his soul. You separate your body from your soul. And that's what the Rambam says. A person should imagine they're in heaven. In heaven, there's no bodies. A person could imagine they're totally spiritual. Imagine when a person is meditating, they should imagine they're totally spiritual. Which is so hard to do because you have pain and ache. You're hungry, thirsty. All these are physical things that, you know, that really that bother a person and stop a person from meditating on the spiritual side. Brings you down to earth very quickly. But a person is going to try and remove the soul and the body and think of themselves totally as soul. So a person should not consider himself clothed at all by the material. That is totally soul. And the more a person separates from the material, the greater will be their enlightenment. And that's the trick. The trick is to separate from the material, which is so, so hard to do. If he consciously registers any sound or movement that disturbs his thoughts, or if the person himself has material thoughts, the soul will immediately be stopped from cleaving to the higher worlds, and a person will not attain anything. Because the higher holiness does not rest on a person if they are attached to the material by even a hair. And that is our problem. Our problem is, how do you get away from the material? How do you break away from the material? And that's why you see these holy rabbis who stay in their room all day, and they're praying, and they're eating, and they're drinking, all in one room, around the Gemara, or around the Chumash, everything is revolving around spirituality. So their souls are clinging to the spiritual world. They don't need any material. Yeah. Someone tried to give them presents. Take it away. I don't want it. I don't want presents. But it's a new stove, a new couch, and a new sofa. No, don't want it. Why? I don't want materialism. Why? Materialism removes me from my spiritual context. It's so hard to get to that level. Because why? Because we desire materialism. But a materialistic person, we're materialistic. We live in a Western civilization, which is a materialistic civilization. We're surrounded by these advertisements. You know, we just went through the busiest season, right? I still get emails from eBay and from Amazon, and this one wants to sell. What do you do? So you surround materials, you just delete it, whatever. But it's non-stop. So a person's going to try and withdraw from the system. Because as soon as a person has material thoughts, the soul will immediately be stopped from cleaving to the higher world. It's very hard not to have material thoughts. It's so hard. And even in marriage, to have material thoughts. Outside marriage for sure, but even in marriage, material thoughts. So try and remove oneself from materialism. Because once the person starts thinking about material things, it stops the spirituality automatically. Bang. It pulls the person down, back to the ground. So even if a person is eligible for Ruach HaKodesh, unless they have learned to separate totally from materialism, they will not get anything. You cannot get Ruach HaKodesh while you're attached to materialism. That is the hardest part. That is really one of the hardest parts is, okay, so a person can meditate, but as long as they have some kind of material urge, that breaks everything, completely breaks everything. And that's one of the things the Rambam tells us in the Laws of Prophecy, in Yesodei HaTorah. He says a person's got to withdraw again. Yeah. And part of prophecy is getting to a trance-like state. How do you get a trance-like state? When you're in a trance-like state, you don't think of anything else. The body is totally immobile. The body is out of commission. The physicality is out of commission completely. Okay, so that's number one. Number two. And now we come to even higher level, which is a harder level also. The second thing is to remove all spiritual disturbances. Oh boy. So you have material disturbances which pull a person down to this ground, to this material world. Now you have spiritual disturbances, unclean forces that come from the Yetzer Hara and are strengthened through a person sinning. And therefore, persons wishing to be mitbader should first repent from all sin. And they should be very careful not to repeat the same mistakes. And the trouble is, we're not talking about sin, major sins, we're talking about midot. Person goes anger, he's angry at someone. How can you meditate spiritually and be angry? How can you meditate spiritually if you're depressed? How can you meditate spiritually if you're annoyed? Right? We say Yaakov Avinu didn't know about Yosef being alive because he was depressed. He didn't get any spiritual information. He couldn't spiritually meditate when he's depressed. How can a person meditate when they're annoyed? So all these are maladies of the soul. And they cause an unclean spirit. And it stops the person from Dveikut to the higher worlds. Okay, so the material stops us. But also spiritual things which are intangibles. It's not material. It's anger. Anger is not material. Anger is an emotion. That emotion is coming from the evil side. And therefore that emotion is something which is going to stop a person from being able to meditate. Shaul HaMelech, terrible, tragic, very tragic, that soon as Shmuel tells him he's going to lose his kingship, a spirit of depression falls on him. And he needs David HaMelech to play music to cure him, and when he plays music, he's okay. And then when he finds out David was anointed, oh boy, he goes wild, and he tries to kill David, and it doesn't end off good. So persons train themselves to transcend the physicality, and also do teshuva.
An example of kavanah would be Yom Kippur.
Yeah, Yom Kippur, exactly. And that's a big question, is how come when Yom Kippur comes in, you say Baruch Shem Kivod Machato Lelam Vayel, like an angel, but when Yom Kippur ends in Arvit after, we don't say Baruch Shem Kivod aloud. We're fasting 25 hours. Why don't we say Baruch Shem Kivod aloud? And the answer is, when Yom Kippur comes in, you stop thinking about food. When Yom Kippur is out and it's Arvit time, it's time to think about food. So therefore, you're not an angel anymore. So the angel concept is not when you're full or not full. It's nothing to do with full or not full. It's to do with where your thoughts are. So where a person's thoughts are, if your thoughts are about food, you're not an angel for sure. You know, you can't speak to an angel on a spiritual wavelength because you're thinking about physical thoughts. It's interesting. So a person thinking physical thoughts cannot get into the spiritual worlds automatically. And that's why even death, unfortunately, is very hard. Because as we are in this world, we die. And that's it. We are the same thing. So a person has material urges in this world, and they can't stop them. They die with those material urges. And they're not pure. That's why the Geinam and other things, to purify a person. Because to stop these material urges, very hard, imagine. A person's into golf. And they get to the other side, and they say, where's my golf? Where's the golf? No golf. There's no golf over here. No golf over here. Come on. Where's the golf? I'm so attached to it. Where is it? So any. I'm just giving an example. Person attached to food. Certain kinds of food. They go to the next world. Where's the food? No food. So it's very important to get over these material things. And that's why Hashem created sickness. Person becomes sick and they have no physical urges. They go off the food. Old age. The person loses his teeth. Loses this. And so there's a time. It's interesting, some people have this opportunity, it's an opportunity to go through this slowly withdrawal from the world, which changes a person. All of a sudden they're not physical. because they're withdrawing from the physicality of the world. It's amazing. It's very interesting. And who was it that prayed for it? It was Yitzhak Avinu prayed for it. Right? He became old and became early, prematurely. He prayed for it. He got blind in his old age. He still lived many years, but he was very withdrawn from the world, and therefore to die and be spiritual was a no-brainer for him. Easy. So some people have that opportunity of a slow process. Some people just go quick. Phew, and how are they going to change? How? I don't know. It's a big test. I don't know. It's very hard to change. So the best thing to do is learn Kohelet. Everything is vanity. This is food is vanity, clothing is vanity, cars are vanity. Unless you think about it, the better it is. It's so hard. We're living in a material world. Suppose it says attached to his telephone. Now what do you do? Where's my phone? My fingers, my thumbs are itching. My spiritual thumbs are itching for my phone. Where's my phone? It's very hard. All right. So that's... We said two things. Number one, we said is people are going to remove themselves from materialism. Second is to remove oneself from the spiritual contamination of the midot, the bad midot, bad traits. First, he says, purify your body from uncleanliness, your hands from any type of dishonest money. It's interesting. Every time we wash our hands, people should think, purifying my hands to serve God. I'm washing my hands for prayer. What are clean hands? David HaMelech says in Psalm 24. Right, who can climb the mountain of God? Cleanliness of hands. A person who has clean hands and a pure heart. What do clean hands mean? Is it talking about physically clean? No. If some person is clean from any kind of theft, it's very hard. Any kind of cheating or trickery or taking things don't believe it. So that's uncleanliness. It's unclean hands, dishonest money. So purify your body from uncleanness, your hands from any type of dishonest money. Purify your heart. A person doesn't desire strange things. Bind your spirit to above, and draw from the wellspring to down below. We talked about it yesterday. Ushafte Mayim B'Sason became a very famous Israeli folk song. very, because they thought talking about water, right? Ushafte Mayim B'Sason, Yeshayahu Navi says, Ushafte Mayim B'Sason, you will draw the water with joy. From the springs of salvation. Is he talking about water? No, he's not talking about water at all. He's talking about Shefa. He's talking about spiritual water. He's talking about spiritual energy. Draw the spiritual energy from the place of salvation. So that's what meditation is all about. Meditation is, what are you trying to do? You're trying to draw it down. And one of the most critical times to meditate is during the Birkat Kohanim. When the Kohen is giving a blessing, a person should imagine Hashem is giving us a blessing. The coin is just God's messenger. It's not a blessing from the coin. It's a blessing from Hashem. And a person is going to think, Hashem, please give me the spiritual energy. I want the spiritual energy. I'll be a good vessel for the spiritual energy. And try and imagine the spiritual energy coming down. The more a person transcends their physicality, the more they will benefit. So transcendence from the physical is of prime importance. Start by attaching your spirit to above. Imagine you're divorcing yourself from this world and are entirely thought. Because we said thought is the highest level for the spiritual. So your person should think, I'm just pure brain. I'm just pure brain. I'm just pure thought. My physical body doesn't exist. I exist in my thoughts. Envisage yourself leaving your body. I don't know if we talked about it. Marcelo talked about near-death experience, right? And part of it is you see the soul comes out of the body, and they see themselves lying there. It's interesting, very fascinating, and that's part of the meditation process. Imagine a person before the meditation think, my soul is leaving the body. I'm supposed to try and meditate on that, and rising to the higher levels. Most important is you meditate with a burning desire, great joy, and transcendence from the physical. Very hard to do. So a person's going to want it so hard. I tell you, I've had the opportunity. It's very hard to take that step. Leave the body. It's very hard. It's very hard to. It's scary because you may not come back. So it's a scary process. You know, you get to the level where you see the ladder in front of you, and go. But the person says, "I don't want. I'm scared to like climb the ladder. It's like going into the unknown. It really is. It's like a trip into the unknown. Yeah. an opportunity where you see the ladder right in front of you, and you see, go. And you say, I don't know. It's like, it really is. The boldly go where no man has ever gone before. It's like you're going to a different space. And obviously, hopefully, it's a good space. And you'll come back unhurt, unharmed. So that's the danger. You don't know. You don't know. Pardon? Yes. 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 So, a lot of what he quotes is from Rav Chaim Vital, Shari Kedusha, the Gates of Holiness, Rav Chaim Vital. Be alone where no one can disturb you. Small sound or materialistic thought can affect your ability to cleave the higher worlds. So Hidbodedut is not just physical isolation, also mental isolation. That's hard. Okay, you can put yourself in a room and close the door and put your cell phone outside and all the disturbances outside, but it's very hard for your mind to cut itself off. That's the hard part. And one of the tools is music. Now that's very fascinating. And we see this in a few stories all about Shaul HaMelech. Interesting. All in Shmuel Aleph. Right? The stories in Shmuel Aleph of Shaul comes to find his father's donkeys. He lost his father's donkeys. So what do? You look at, lost your father's donkeys, where do you go? There's no GPS in those days. There's no closed circuit TV. There's no cameras. What do you do? And the answer is you go to a guy called a Jose. What's a Jose? A seer. S-E-E-R. He goes to a seer. And he goes looking for this guy. You can tell him where his can you imagine what kind of motivation he had? He's going to Shmuel HaNavi to find his donkeys. Imagine. What a low motivation, right? So number one, he's got to find the Jose. He's got to find the seer. He lost his donkey. He's not going to find the Jose. So he goes around asking this one, asking that one, how do you get this? How do you get there? So okay, you go to some place, Ramata. You go to Ramot, where Shmuel HaNavi lives. And he goes there, and he actually asks Shmuel HaNavi, he doesn't know who he is, where is the Jose? And Shmuel HaNavi says, Jose. And you're coming with me. I'm going to offer the offering, and I'm going to eat. And we're going to have a banquet, and you are going to come and be my guest at the banquet. But I got a question. Don't ask. I'll tell you exactly where you are. Your father already found his donkeys. He doesn't have to ask the question. Even the Jose already knows what he's going to ask, and the Jose already knows the answer. Gave him the answer before he asked the question. Imagine. So, cut a long story short, it says, Shmuel Navi says, you're going to be the next king of Israel. Imagine. That's where Shakespeare got a kingdom for a horse. I'm sure he got it from there. So really it was a kingdom for two donkeys. He found a kingdom. And then one of the signs he gives him on the way back, he says, you're going to fall in with a group of prophets and you're going to prophesize with them. Shaul HaMelech. So he says he goes home and the prophets are playing musical instruments. And he himself starts prophesizing with them. Can you imagine in those days? Can you imagine? People, schools of prophets. Bands of prophets walking around with their music and their minting and their, and then you go and join them and you start prophesying as well. Amazing. And he starts prophesying. It's not the first time. Shaul does it a few times in prophesying. So when you prophesize, you're like transcending the purpose. Obviously he's got to be trained to do that. You can't just go and join a band of prophets and start prophesying straight away. You've got to start training the mind to remove oneself to the physicality. Obviously Shaul had some kind of spiritual holiness that he had already. He could remove himself from physicality at the touch of a button. Imagine yourself rising through levels of your soul. Be certain what you are doing. That's the trouble. You've got to be certain what you're doing. That's why you need it. It's good to have a guide who's done it himself or herself. She can guide you. Don't worry, there's going to be a ladder over there. You're going to climb the ladder. But if you've never done it yourself, it's like pretty scary. You know? So I need a guide. I need someone to do it. You're traveling spiritually. At the highest source, see your soul root. That's the highest level you can go. A person can never go above their soul root. Wherever the source of your soul is in the worlds above, that's the highest level you can go. See your soul roots receiving light from its source in God. Imagine yourself descending stage by stage, bringing the light down with you. Obviously, that's the highest level you can do. This is obviously a very high level meditation. From Shari Kedusha, Rav Chaim Vital. So this is obviously a meditation. Go back to the Arizal. These are very high level meditations. I know things for, but it's interesting to know. Person should know these things. Okay, and that's something which we have to talk about. And the idea. Let's go back to this idea, this concept, that the highest thought a person can have is that you are thought. How does a person hint or link, latch onto the fact that we are spiritual beings? So I can't think of my soul, but I can think of my thoughts. Right? The closest thing to your soul is your thoughts. So imagine that you are entirely thought. What does that mean? The world is made of energy, which in its purest form is thought. How do we know? Because God says, let there be this, and let there be that, let there be the other. How did God create things? And the answer is obviously God doesn't speak. So what does it mean he thought? God thinks, and it happens. So the thought, which is the energy, created the mass, or whatever it is. E equals MC, whatever the energy is. Like, the energy is a thought. So the world is made of energy, and in purest form is thought. Thought surrounds the nucleus of creation. It is the first garment the soul encounters when descending to this world. So you can imagine, well, the linkage between the soul and the body is thought. The language of the soul is the thought. Through thought, we can access the arteries of the higher worlds. So the key is in our minds. And you don't have to be able to walk, you don't have to be able to talk, you don't have to be anything, you just think. And that's why even a paraplegic or a person on a bed has the ability to do great things in their head. Because sometimes you have these physical abilities that stop a person from growing spiritually. Because they're so busy doing things. Like, the guy's a carpenter, he's built this, but his thoughts are not focused on God. His thoughts are not focused on spirituality. Whereas a person can't do anything, that's when the thoughts really take over. The trouble is, the thoughts then, you got thoughts of pain, you got thoughts of health. Balagan, it's a balagan. So it's very hard to have the pure thoughts when you really only can think. It's very hard to have those thoughts. Thoughts make a person what they are. If you find it difficult to see yourself as thought, imagine yourself as being light. Think of something as spiritual as you can to define yourself. Look into the mirror and think of yourself as a thought. Think of yourself as a beam of light. Huh?
Ruach
is like a, yeah. But that's what you say. Ner mitzvah Torah or Nishmat Elokim Ruach Adam. The candle of God is the soul of a person. So a person thinks of themselves as a candle. I'm like a little candle here. All of us are candles lighting up the darkness. The more you transcend your physicality, the more you will benefit from these meditations. Okay. Start by attaching your spirit to above. This need not be difficult. Oh yeah, very good. This is Sefer Haridim. Rabbi Eliezer Azichri was a janitor of the Arizal. He was a janitor of the shul. And a very, very holy man. It says on Lag Bomer, when they were dancing, it was just the Arizal was dancing with some elderly man who just appeared from nowhere. And he pulled into the circle Rabbi Eliezer Azichri, the janitor of the shul. So I was thinking, who is he dancing? Number one is, who's he dancing with? And number two is, why is he dancing with a janitor? No one realized the greatness of this janitor until he wrote the book Sefer Haridim, and then they realized how great he was. So Rabbi Eliezer Azichri. So he's the one who says, what's the problem? Right? It's not difficult to attach yourself to holiness. Attach yourself to the spirit above. This does not need to be difficult. Imagine. What level is this to say is not really difficult? Every soul longs for its source. This is the very nature of the soul. One merely needs to turn one's attention to that longing. The person longs to get to the source. Clothe yourself in joy and think of Hashem. Visualize yourself in heaven surrounded by the souls of tzaddikim. So again, it's very similar to what the Rambam says. When you're praying, you're meant to think of yourself in heaven. But how do you think of yourself in heaven? So now this is a little bit dangerous, because now you think of the tzaddikim souls with you. I'm with the soul of whatever tzaddik, Ben Ish Chai, whatever. I'll be with the soul of Ben Ish Chai, or Rav Avad Yosef, or Rav Steinman, or Rav Eliashiv, or whatever. I see the souls. The danger of this is they passed away already, so now where are you in the world of, you know? So it's a little bit of danger, a little bit of sakana over there. But how do you envision yourself in heaven? So you envision yourself with people who are in heaven. This way you're dragging yourself up. You have a path to drag yourself up. You have a mechanism to drag yourself up. But also, clothe yourself in tremendous joy. joy is the key to spirituality. Joy is the key to going closer to Hashem. A person who's not happy cannot get close to Hashem. So a very, very important idea that it's got to be joy, as we said, and the same thing applies to prayer. Shulchan Aruch says to pray through joy. Right? Gilu b'rada, but he says it's not joy of laughter and joking around, it's joy of a mitzvah. So learn Torah just before you pray. Do a mitzvah before you pray. That's what you give staka before you pray. It's the joy of a mitzvah. It's happiness of a mitzvah that leads to spirituality. Okay, we have to stop here. We'll continue Bezrat Hashem next week. Bezrat Hashem.